Turn to John 16 with me. As Bob was speaking about how Beverly handles things, I said, I sure hope Vicky's not taking notes. I'm going to fail the test. attentiveness is a big challenge to pay attention and listen. That's a big challenge. In Proverbs, the very first thing it tells us in Proverbs is if you're going to learn what you need to learn, you've got to learn how to pay attention. It says a wise man will hear, and because he's listening carefully, he will increase in learning. He'll learn what he needs to learn because he's listening carefully. It's not easy to listen carefully. It's not easy to listen with discernment about what's being said. How many of you have ever looked back at old pictures of yourself and your family? It's quite humbling. I've been doing it recently, and I was thinking about when Vicky and I got married. I'm sure our parents were thinking, man alive, we sure hope they make it. It's just so much, naiveness. You know, when you're young, you know, you're going to conquer the world and, you know, reach the mountains and conquer every one of them. But after you've been living a while, you begin to learn just how big those mountains are and what you're really up against. I remember in those days when I got saved when I was 18. Got married when I was 22, is that right? 22. And I was trying to figure life out. You know, it's pretty bad situation when you get married and you're trying to figure life out. You know, I began to learn real quickly that not everybody agrees on the answer to those questions. I began to learn very quickly. I remember specifically sitting down at, I was attending Philadelphia College of Bible, going to downtown Philadelphia every day to go to Bible college. A lot different than EI, you know. Downtown Philadelphia. And I remember sitting down with a professor, and he began to outline for me the spectrum of professing Christianity, the spectrum of religion and what people say. Matter of fact, in my library, I've probably got 5 or 6 books, and it lists all the different denominations there are, all the different perspectives there are, all the different takes there are about what people believe truth is. And not everybody agrees on it. Amen? Divergent take on what truth is. And in those days of my life, I was wanting to understand truth. You know, God will make a way for a person. Jesus said this, my sheep hear what? My voice. If you're willing to listen to his voice, will he teach you what you need to learn? And can you get it directly from God himself by his Spirit through his word? That's what this whole message is about. I believe that one of the characteristics of cults and people getting led astray is they just accept hook, line, and sinker what the man up front is teaching them. And, you know, the Bible is very clear about testing the spirits and see if they be of God. Amen. Test the spirit. Don't just test. You start with testing the word. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying is what the scripture said. Amen. But you got to test the spirit of how it's being given and see if it be of God. 1 John says, test the spirit to see if it's coming from God, not just the message. Test the spirit of the message. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus said to James and John, his apostles, you know not what spirit you are of. That the disposition you have right now The attitude you have right now, the spirit you have right now, is not coming from the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've got to be willing to let God teach us about the spirit of truth. The spirit of truth. It wasn't long after we got married, we started having children. And then I was trying to figure out how this is supposed to work. And I began to learn real quickly as far as training children, shepherding children, and what needs to be done, what needs to be accomplished. I began to learn very quickly, even among believers, not everybody agreed on it. And they were still, and they were all basing it on the Word of God. So this matter of the spirit of truth and this matter of getting it right and getting it from God is a big time challenge for all of us. And so this message is all about the spirit of truth. Now, the Lord speaks to this in John 16. John 16, he's already mentioned the spirit of truth twice in the upper room discourse, which is where we are, John 13, 14, 15, 16, the last 24 hours with his apostles. And he's already mentioned it twice. The first time the Lord, when he mentions the Comforter, and when he mentions the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, he calls the Comforter the Spirit of Truth three times. The first time he mentions the Spirit of Truth, he says, this Spirit of Truth, this Comforter, the world is not able to receive. Now, what does that tell us about if you don't have the Holy Spirit within you? What does that tell you about how you're living your life without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of Truth within you? If you don't have the Spirit of Truth within you, what does that tell you about how you're living your life? It means that you're living your life according to lies. You're living your life according to deception. You're living your life according to darkness. It's absolutely critical to get anything right in life to have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God within you. It's absolutely critical. Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, the Comforter has come, he, the person of the Holy Spirit, will lead you and guide you into how much of the truth? I tell you, that's very encouraging to me. It's very encouraging to me that you're not at the mercy of man to get the truth. I tell you, that's very encouraging. When you find out how many different views, how many different takes, how many different understandings there are, I tell you, praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit within. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the written Word of God. He's the author of the Scriptures. Amen? The one who wrote it, it has the best understanding of what it means. Amen? And so if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, it's going to require the Holy Spirit being our teacher. And if we do not let the Holy Spirit be, I'm talking about not leaning on your reasoning. I'm talking about not leaning on academics. I'm talking about not leaning on commentaries. I'm talking about not leaning on whatever most famous person that's speaking has come through lately, whatever wind of doctrine is blowing. Amen? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit teaching every believer the truth. That's very reassuring to me. Because I don't consider myself to have that much of an IQ. You know, I'm not way up the ladder on that. But praise God, God promises every believer can be guided into all the truth by the ministry of the Holy Spirit within. That means that you can get it from God directly. Now, will you turn to 1 John chapter 2 with me? The second time the Lord mentions the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2. I mentioned these verses quite a bit when I'm preaching, but I don't know that I've had you turn there and actually look at it in 1 John 2. The second time that the Lord mentions the Spirit of truth, before we get to chapter 16, he says that this Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. One day I was walking into the hospital up there in New Jersey. This was many years ago. And I don't know who this man was. It could have been an angel. There's been several times in my life where I don't know, you know, if it's been, you know, the Bible says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For if you, sometimes you're entertaining angels unawares. But anyways, this man didn't know me from Adam. And I'm walking up to the hospital. And he said, young man, the devil's been around a long time. He said, you better pay attention. And you know what I'm thinking this morning? God's been around longer than the devil. And when it says the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, proceeds from God, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about eternal God. We're talking about God the Father is eternal. God the Son is eternal. And God the Holy Spirit is eternal. Amen? We're talking about the Trinity of God. We're talking about somebody through our triune God that understands everything as our Creator. And if we think our finite mind can get it squared away without our Creator, we better look again. Amen? The Spirit of truth that proceeds from the eternities, the eternal God. It's wonderful to have that kind of teacher within you. Now here in 1 John 2, he warns in verse 19 of people who go out from true believers. In verse 19, he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. One characteristic of a true conversion and a true child of God, a truly born-again person, is that he will persevere in faith. He will persevere in his walk with God, not because of his own effort, but because of the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit within him. Amen? When God begins a work in a person's life, what does he do? He finishes it. Jesus Christ is the, what is he? He's the author of my faith. What else is he? Finisher of my faith. And one thing about the working of the Holy Spirit, one thing about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I have many things. I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to take it all in yet. I am so thankful to God that God doesn't lay it all on us all at once. Amen. But one thing I know for sure, if I'm responding by faith to God, in obedience to God, now it's one thing to have the Spirit of truth, but truth is not just something you give intellectual assent to, right? The Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It's not just hearing, it's not just intellectual assent, it's continuing in his word. And there's several times in the scriptures where it doesn't just talk about listening to the truth, it doesn't just talk about understanding the truth, it talks about doing the truth. Everybody with me? To me, that's one of the grand hermeneutical principles of interpreting the Bible correctly. How can you interpret the Bible correctly if you're not willing to live what's in here? Right? God talks about to whom much is given, much is required. God talks about if I give you light and you respond to that light in your life, not just in your head, you respond to that truth in your life, what will God give us? More light. There's progression. This thing about going backwards is not of God. It's not of God in the Christian life. It's not. Whenever you're in right fellowship with God and responding to the Holy Spirit and growing in grace, and your relationship with God is healthy, you're going to be moving forward. Amen? Jesus said, no man that puts his hand to the plow of Christian living and being like Jesus Christ and looks where? Looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The proverb says, the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. So like the hymn says, we're pressing on the upward way. True believers are pressing on the upward way. New heights we are gaining every day. If we're not making forward, listen, nobody's in neutral. Either you're moving forward or you're moving backwards. Everybody with me? It's not like you tread ground. It's like a current, and by the supernatural works of the Spirit of God within us, we're able to overcome the current of the world. But as soon as we're not in fellowship with the Lord properly, as soon as we're not in His Word properly, as soon as we grieve the Holy Spirit, the current can swiftly take us away. Amen? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what gives us the ability to overcome the law of sin and death. And it's this supernatural works of the Holy Spirit within. The teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit within. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us because of what the next verse says. True believers, the King James says, true believers have an unction from the Holy One. Who is the Holy One? I believe that's a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus says, it's expedient for you that I go away. It's expedient for you that I go away so the Holy Spirit will come and indwell every believer. So how many believers have the unction of the Holy Spirit? Every believer. You have an unction from the Holy One, and what does it say that you as a believer are capable of knowing? All things. In John, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide us into all the truth. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that we learn everything there is to learn in life about every subject there is to learn about. Everybody with me? There's too much to learn about these subjects in life. There's no way we could even possibly begin to have that type of knowledge of all subjects. But what's vital and what's essential for every person in life to have from God so he can overcome the world, overcome sin, is going to be given by the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's like in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, God gives to believers all things that pertain to life. And anybody know the rest of it? Godliness. If it's something that pertains to life and godliness, that's essential. That's why I think about a successful person is not necessarily an educated person. A successful person is somebody that's being taught by the Holy Spirit. How can you have success in life without the Holy Spirit's supernatural working in the presence of Christ within? How can you learn what's essential? How can you learn what's vital without the Holy Spirit? You can't. Now, even to be saved, even to be converted, even to respond to the gospel, it's not just like we present the points and we make our persuasive matters of the gospel, and then somebody responds because we're such a fancy persuader of the truth. Listen, nobody can say Jesus Christ is Lord and it be true without the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We can't even get started with God without the supernatural works of the Spirit of God. which means that if we're praying and witnessing and reaching out, one of the main things we need to be doing as far as witnessing is make sure we're praying. Because people can't respond to the truth without the Spirit of God working. We preached on that last week. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of three things. How we fall short with the violations in our life of sin. And then Thursday I was talking about this. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness. The Holy Spirit doesn't just convict of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness. Now let me just spend a few moments here. Because this is, I think, critical to understanding and having discernment about what the Spirit of God is teaching. Do you remember when the Lord finished the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the Lord was speaking the truth. Every word he spoke was the truth. Amen? He even says in John 16 when he says, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. Every word the Lord spoke was the truth. Matter of fact, the Lord himself was the truth. He was truth incarnate. The first thing it tells us in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, what do we behold? Beheld his glory. And we're still beholding his glory. Amen? We're still beholding his glory with unveiled face in his exaltation at the right hand of God. We're still beholding his glory. But they beheld his glory in the flesh with physical eyes. And it says he was full. Very first thing it tells us in the Gospel of John, the very first thing it tells is that Jesus Christ was full of two things. What was he full of? He was full of grace. And what else was he full of? Full of truth. So to have truth, you got to have Jesus Christ. You got to have Jesus Christ within to have truth. Because of what I'm about to explain about righteousness. Righteousness and truth is both something that's got to be not only outside of you. Righteousness and truth has got to be something inside of you and me. The Bible tells us that God desires truth. Where does God desire truth? God desires truth in the inward parts. Now, when the Lord was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard that it hath been said. This is what the Bible says. This is how to interpret the Old Testament scriptures. This is what the Old Testament scriptures mean. You have heard that other people are saying this is what it means. But I say unto you, and he kept saying it over and over again, you have heard, but I say. You have heard, but I say. And he gave the true interpretation of the scriptures. Right? When he was finished his preaching, what does it say? The people, what was the response of the people to hearing the truth? And by the way, if you're a true believer and the truth is being preached, it will ring true with you. Amen? It will ring true with you in your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit what's coming from God and what's not coming from God. Amen? So when the truth is being preached, it's going to ring true with you. It rung true with those people that day, and they were being taught a lot of garbage. They were being taught a lot of garbage that was not according to the Word of God. And it says when Jesus was finished, it says they were astonished at his preaching and teaching. Because, and this is very important, he taught them as one, whenever somebody is living the truth, and whenever somebody is giving the truth, there's going to be authority with it. Because truth has authority. Truth has authority. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And if you know the truth, what will it do in a person's life? It sets people free. And so when somebody is, if you're witnessing to somebody and you're living the truth and you're sharing the truth, you're going to have great authority of God working there. The Lord always, he had authority. And he tells us, he had authority over every domain. He had authority over the demons. He had authority over the darkness. He had authority over disease. He had authority over death. He had authority over the weather. He had authority over the natural laws of nature, like turning water into wine. He had authority over he had authority over man. They were trying to seize him, trying to kill him, trying to arrest him. Long before you get to John, last 24 hours, long before you get to these chapters, they were trying to kill him. And they couldn't. The soldiers came to arrest him. And they came back to the leader of Judaism. They said, "How come you didn't arrest him?" And they said, "Never a man spoke like him." He had authority. When they came to arrest him in the garden, and the Lord, he said to his apostles, "Let us go out." Listen, they didn't seize Jesus. They didn't capture Jesus. They didn't take Jesus. One of the things he says in this chapter here, he says, "It's expedient for you that I go away." Nobody took him away. Amen. He says, and when he said, "I go away," he's not saying, "I'm going away to my destruction. I'm going away to my defeat." He said, "I'm going away to the crucifixion. I'm going away to the resurrection. I'm going away to the ascension. I'm going away to the exaltation. I'm going away to the glorification, so the Holy Spirit will come." He had authority. Truth always has authority. Don't ever worry about who won the argument. Truth's going to win the argument. Truth's going to win. Truth wins every time. Truth never loses. If you reject the truth, if you go against the truth, God says he's not mocked. God is not mocked. Amen? If a man sows to the flesh, what will happen? He will of the flesh reap corruption in his life. So it doesn't matter how fancy you can talk for 5 hours and defend your position, but if it's not according to truth, your life will go downhill. Amen? You can't fight truth and win. Truth always wins. So, sometimes I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. I want to talk about this inward righteousness and this inward truth. Because if we're going to be convicted right and have true conversion and true discipleship and authentic walk with God, we've got to get it right inside and not just give the appearance of something outside. Amen? So here's what the Lord said about righteousness. In the Sermon on the Mount, if I'm remembering correctly, he said, "Unless your righteousness exceeds," what? "The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees." Now, how righteous outwardly were they? Remember the guy in the temple? The two guys in the temple? And one of them was full of self-righteousness. He says, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men." He should have said, "God, I'm just like other men." That's what he should have said. But because of righteousness that the scribes and the Pharisees had was outward, external righteousness. And it was not about the inside. It was about the outside, right? And the Lord said, if your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you will in no wise be able to enter into the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, which, by the way, he's not just talking about eternity. He's talking about right now. Talking about right now, live in the reality of the kingdom of God. Right now, live in the authority of the kingdom of God. There's so much teaching in the New Testament that the Lord gave about the kingdom. Matter of fact, it says he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? We're talking about kingdom living now, not just one day. So, this outward righteousness, Believe me, if man's establishing the criteria of righteousness, he's going to bring it down to a level of achievement. And it's going to have to be outward. It reminds me of years ago when I was playing golf. I'd go out there and find out what par was. I said, man alive, there's no way. I'm spending half my time in the woods looking for my ball. You know, there's no way I'll reach that par. So I decided in my mind what par was for me. I just brought the standard from way up there to where I could reach it. So I always had a good game. Listen, there's people that think they're right with God because being ignorant of God's righteousness, they go about to establish, what does the Bible say? Their own righteousness. And when the Holy Spirit convicts a person, I tell you, he shows us our barrenness. He shows us our utter corruptness. He shows us how exceedingly sinful we are. How completely empty we are of any righteousness that pleases God. Any righteousness that pleases God. That's why when the Lord gave the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are they that mourn. Well, why are we mourning? We're mourning because there's nothing in us that can produce the righteousness that is required. Amen? And the Lord, when he said, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness because I'm going back to the Father. Listen, when the Lord is back with the Father, there's nobody on planet Earth that's got perfect righteousness. Amen? Just look around you. Even people that have walked with God many years are not perfect. Would everybody agree with that? Paul said, I count not myself to have be there yet. Listen, there's only one that's got the righteousness that pleases God. Only one. If you don't have him, you'll never be pleasing to God. Amen? It's his righteousness. And that's why it's so essential to be born of the Holy Spirit. To receive the life of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of his life, and to admit your... Listen, if the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, be honest about it. It's true, but if I don't admit it's true, I'm not going to get the benefit of it. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, here's what the Lord said. He said, blessed are they who hunger. Why is somebody hungering? It's like he's out in a desert, no water, no food, complete barrenness, and he's desperately in need of food and water because he has no resource on his own to bring it to pass. Let's just assume for a minute he's got two broken legs and he's 400 miles from the nearest water. I mean, whatever way you want to get it in your mind. But it's a complete impossibility for us to come up with righteousness that pleases God. Paul said, not having my own righteousness in Philippians 3, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith in who? Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness that pleases God. Every person desperately needs Jesus Christ. We desperately need to be born of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you hear somebody say, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, that's not the spirit of truth. Amen? You don't have to repent. You don't have to confess your sin. You don't need any blood atonement. This whole philosophy that children are born innocent and it's environment that corrupts children, that's just not coming from God. The Bible says we're born from the moment we are born, conceived. It says the wicked go astray from their mother's womb. If we don't get it right about the sin nature of man, we'll never get it right about parenting. Amen? We'll never get anything right. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Our accountability to God. We are accountable to God. Amen? There is a judgment. God's made it clear what our condition is. God's made it crystal clear what our condition is. Will I be honest enough to admit I desperately need God? I need to plead for mercy. I need to plead for mercy. I need to plead for mercy. When it says, when it talks about the Holy Spirit teaching us and the Holy Spirit convicting us, listen, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process. If the path of the just is like a shining light that gets more and more to the perfect day, the more light God gives you, the more God shows you things that needs to be corrected. Amen? This is a lifetime journey, lifetime process. It's not like you just need light when you first get saved. We need light all the way through from God. We need to be convicted. Listen, we need to be convicted by God. Amen? To get things right. So, forward progress with God requires that we deal with the inner man and what's not just what's going on outwardly, but what's going on inwardly. Let's pray together. Our Father, so many times we're trying to deal with something on the surface. We're trying to deal with something that's outward. We see all these outward things and we try to put a Band-Aid on something. It's like a major cancer situation. And the only way it can be ever corrected, the only way it can ever be finally dealt with, is it's got to be in the inward man. Lord, you said he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And the circumcision that's needed is the circumcision in the inner man, not just the outer man. Because we can be baptized, we can be a member of the church, we can give a good appearance of outward righteousness, we can be successful, we can be moral, we can appear to be sincere, we can pray wonderful prayers and so forth and so on, and still be lost, still not be a child of God. So, Father, I pray you speak to all of us today that we desperately need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. First of all, to be saved, and then all through our pilgrimage in life to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see how desperate we are for him to open our eyes. Otherwise, we're going to think, well, everybody else is wrong and I'm right. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit's teaching in our life. And help us to see where we're wrong so that we can have the Spirit of eternal truth, absolute truth that never changes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.